ask God's help and protection for them. Many of them are going through the same thing we are here. Some countries have very strict rules, and if they have an uptick, as we're having right now in America, with more cases, then they'll shut down having services or limit them to no more than 50 people. And so they're experiencing some of the same things. And then, like the missionary in Bahamas, we just sent them an extra $1,000 because to feed some of their people, because their members are mostly related to tourist industry to make any money, and the cruise ships are not going into the Bahamas with the COVID problem. So those folks have been out of work for a while. So we did the same with our missionary in South Africa. He went ahead and asked for help, and then their church funded all they could there, two churches, and put together food packages and went to the villages and just handed them out as long as they had them. And I know one time they did that, and they had more than 200 people show up, and they didn't have that many, so they went back a few days later to try to get those that they didn't have enough for at that time. And they've done that for months. And if you got food on the table and a few dollars in your pocket and a little money in the bank and your bills are paid, you praise the Lord and give thanks, because there are people that haven't worked for a while. One family we helped a little this past week got evicted. They're not members of the church, but the daughter-in-law is a faithful attender here. And her in-laws got evicted because they couldn't pay their rent. So right now they're living in the basement of one of their relatives. And if that hasn't affected you, then really praise the Lord. Many people are working from home, and that's a real blessing that companies are allowing them to do that. And I think Manny has been, after he went to campus at Clemson, all of his classes they offer online, so he came home and he's doing college from home. And there's probably others doing that also. Look with me in your Bibles today at 1 Peter chapter 1. My last message on this subject before we started in Missions Month was on October the 25th. We looked at 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 12, and just got a glimpse at it. And this is the second message that I'm bringing from this text. Peter offers praise to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father as sinners only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His sacrifice on Calvary that makes salvation available to us. For God withholds Himself in His holiness from sin, and so sinners can call God Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now that's what God expects of us who are saved, to greatly rejoice in what God has done for us. Though now for a season, or for a period of time, if need be, you are in temptation, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Father, bless the message today and the hearts of your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God is our Father, and He is the God of redemption. We didn't seek God. We were lost. God sought us. We didn't find Christ. People say, I found the Lord. The Lord wasn't the one lost. It was you that was lost. The Lord found you. And that's how you got saved. He was not the one who was lost. We were. Let me look at a few scriptures. If you want to read along with me, I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Verse 9 through 11, 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We must never forget. We've got family members, friends, co-workers who are not saved. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God. The lost will be judged by God one day. We should do everything in our power to be a witness for Christ and to help people come to salvation. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In Romans chapter 3, Paul explains in the definition of all of us being sinners. In Romans 3 and verse 11, he says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So man who does not know the Lord is not only lost, he's not interested in being saved. He's not looking for God to help him. He's looking to live in his sin. Unless the Spirit of God begins to deal with him and the Word of God he begins to understand, then the Spirit can bring him to a point of conviction to see that he's lost. You know, one of the hardest things in getting somebody saved is to get them to see that they're lost, because they're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of going to hell. There's no fear in their eyes, but if they'll ever get that fear of hell and of dying, then they're going to start looking for somebody to help them to find God and to get relief. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 12 through 14, by the way, I've got more scripture that I'm going to get through today in the message, but you don't need to hear from me, you need to hear from God's Word. Romans 8 verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So salvation enables us to overcome our Adamic nature, being connected to Adam, the sinful nature we were born with. But Christ died to pay the debt for that sin, and we are saved by His grace and by His mercy. Peter thanks God for His abundant mercy. He has given us new life. We are begotten or born again through the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the power of Christ. Now, all spiritual blessings come from God. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and 4, you at home, by the way, if you don't have your Bible handy or if you have trouble catching up with me if I get too fast, get you a pen and paper and write down the verses and look them up at another time. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So all spiritual blessings come from God, and God understood that we would be saved before the foundation of the world. Peter praised God for his abundant mercy and for granting us that living hope that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have that hope of the finished work of our salvation, but we are granted an inheritance, Peter said, that is reserved in heaven for us. Through Christ, we have a great future to look forward to. We closed this chapter looking at five perspectives on the believer's life, the joy causing us to triumph through adversity. Peter was writing to people who were scattered because of persecution of the Roman government in their day and time. The Christians faced persecution from the idol worshipers and from the different nations of people, but also from the Jews who had not yet received Christ as Savior. There was persecution upon believers wherever they seemed to go. Now, first of all, one of the things that helps us triumph in our adversity. Right now, we're in some emotional turmoil in our nation because we don't know what's going to happen with a new party taking over who've made a lot of threats about changing the Supreme Court and balance of power and all these kind of things. We feel like a lot of it's going to revert back to what the 8 years of Mr. Obama, which our economy was nowhere near then what it is now. But with the government changes and higher taxes, it could go back to that again. So we don't know what's going to happen to the stock market. We don't know what's going to happen to banks. We don't know what's going to happen to our economy. But we can have confidence that whatever we face in persecution or tribulation, our place with God as His children and our inheritance in heaven are secure. And we should greatly rejoice when we face adversity. There are things that this world cannot take away from us, our relationship with God and our reward in our future. Secondly, we have the confidence of our faith, knowing that we have the faith to believe what the Bible says about Jesus sustains us to endure the temporary trials that we go through in this life. Faith helps us focus on our future and not the present distress that we're going through. We must always, as Christians, look beyond our circumstances and look to the one who controls the circumstances. Thirdly, we have confidence that we've been promised a future honor for enduring the present trial. In verse 7 of 1 Peter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to see Jesus one day, friends. We're going to see him when he comes in the clouds to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. Or we're going to see him because of physical death when we close our eyes here. I say this all the time when we have our aged members and cancer survivors for a while and people like that who pass away. I'll say they didn't get well in this life, but they got well the moment they closed their eyes when they went home to be with the Lord, and they have peace with God. Then we're sustained by the personal fellowship with Christ that awaits us at his appearing. Jesus said in John 17, that great high priestly prayer that he made with the Father when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he prayed not only for his disciples, but for all those who would believe through the message that they would preach and the word they would write, continuing on until the end, all those who would be saved through the ministry he started and gave to his apostles to preach to every nation and make disciples of every nation of people. At the appearing of Christ, we're going to be together because of the Word of God and the church assembled. The Lord Jesus is going to be with us. And he said that when he comes to get us, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God for that. I have a tendency to get lost sometimes, you know. If it was left up to me, I'm afraid I'd get lost. But I can't get lost because I'm not kept by me. I'm kept by the power of God. And there's that promise of our future. Then fifthly, the confidence in the fact that we're delivered from the wrath to come and preserved unto the end of your faith. Verse 9, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Wherein we greatly rejoice. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Maybe a short period of time you have to go through some transitional trials and tests. Like growing up hard. Some of you grew up hard. You grew up hard under tough parents. Or you grew up hard economically. I told Brother Gary this morning, we got talking about, you know, the old days, and my dad bought a four-room house with an outhouse, and it had a wood heater in the living room, and we lived in that house with, I had three sisters and myself, and my mom and dad, six of us, living in that little four-room house with an outhouse out back and one heater in the living room. And life was a little tough back in those days. But I survived it. And I found out you don't have to have everything you think you need. You can get by with a lot less usually. And God sustained us. And God sustains you today. And you may be going through some temporary trials. But don't ever forget, God's already delivered you from the wrath and judgment of God that's going to come upon this earth. And he has preserved you, and through your faith, the salvation of your soul. You're going to get a new body one day. You got aches and pains. You're growing old and difficult. Brother John's and I are talking and comparing blood thinners and bruises and all that this morning, you know. One day you're going to get a new body. One day I'm going to get a new body. You know what? In that day, I'll be the right weight for the right height. I don't know if I'll ever be before that. People tell me, oh, you need to lose weight. I've lost over 50 pounds from what I had gotten up to. But it hasn't been drastic or quick, you know. It's been a little by little over several year period of time. And I hope to continue to lose some more. But I'm not going to waste away, I'm sure. But when I get to be with the Lord, I'm going to get a good body like his body. And so I rejoice. But in the transition, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through verse 25. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The day's coming, my friends, and we have to have patience to wait for that day The promises of God will be brought to fruition. But if need be, it is necessary for the purpose in a believer's life. If need be, it is necessary that we go through tests and trials for a period of time. God uses trouble to wean us away from the things of this world, to point us to God, to heaven, to the future, to rewards preserved for us, to get us to look up instead of focusing on the issues of the problem, getting us to think right in accordance with His Word. The pains of life make us value the blessings of God. We're made able ministers to God through the experiences that we go through. I won't ask you to turn there to read, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says that God helps believers when they go through trials and difficulty, and the same comfort that He gives to you, He intends that you then turn and comfort someone else who's going through a similar experience. And all of us have experienced that nobody else can identify with you in what you're going through like somebody else who's been through the same kind of thing. And so our experiences help us to be able ministers for Christ and bring comfort to others with the same comfort that we have received. After this temporary suffering we endure, God will perfect us, confirm us, strengthen us, establish us, reward us, and transform us into that new being with a new body. The heaviness of present distress may be physical pain that we go through. Some folks suffer terrible pain many years in their life, either as a result of disease or arthritic pains or car wrecks or whatever it may be, that they go through tremendous suffering from what they've been through. And they may go through sorrow. Some families have a parent who outlives multiple children. Imagine the hardship of being the one who survives when those you love the most, you've had to stand by their grave and see them taken from you early and before their time and that sort of thing. So there's pain, there's sorrow, there's anxious hearts. Going through the trials we've been going through in 2020 has made a lot of folks anxious of heart, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing which degree this virus is going to take and the upticks of it that's caused people to be out of work and all those kind of things. Now we, like our Lord, are working the work that He has given us to do. And as He said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. We have the opportunity now to be a witness for Christ, now to send missionaries to the foreign field, now to do the work that God has given us to do, because there's coming a time when that work will not be done any longer. The refiner's fires purify and burn off impurities and qualify us to be useful to God. As the goldsmiths would melt the gold, the impurities would be burned off and come up as dross or slag, and they would take a tool and skim the top of the gold pot and remove those impurities. And then the gold was ready to be poured out into coins or into figures to be used in whatever way. And its usefulness was not as a rock with gold in it. Its usefulness was when all the impurities were gone, and then it was ready for usefulness. And God allows trials and tests that we go through to purify our faith that we might be more useful to God. The trials are various and many, but so is the grace of God. It is called the manifold grace of God. It is varied and it is many. We have diverse trials and tests, but we can rejoice in our triumphant faith that endures. Many of you have been saved for a long time. My wife and I were saved on September the 14th, 1975. In less than a year, we were in Springfield, Missouri in Bible college. And God has been good to us all these years. He's kept us. He's provided for us. He's protected us. And He's done the same for you who've been saved for long periods of time. You've gone through tests. You've gone through trials. You've gone through hardships and difficulties. But remember, real gold stands the test of purification. And real faith stands the test of what we go through in this life. The revelation of Jesus Christ will find our faith worthy of praise, honor, and glory at His appearing. Now, if you're still in 1 Peter, look at chapter 1 and verse 13. Peter said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Turn over to chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Peter 4, verse 13 and 14. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." We looked at numerous scriptures in this study on churches going through adversity and trial and troubles and problems. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 and 8, at the appearing of Christ in glory, we're going to be rewarded. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4 and 5, I think I'll turn there and read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer." So we're suffering for the cause of Christ in adversity, in attacks, in difficulties. God knows all about what we're going through, and God is going to reward those who are faithful. We fix our hope on the revelation of Christ's return for us. Well, Peter's audience that he speaks to in writing this, and to us still today, we have not seen Jesus with the visible eye as he and the other apostles had. But we, like these believers, have willed to love the Lord, and it's demonstrated that we love Him by our obedience and by our endurance through the difficulties of life that we face. Because the more we know about Christ, and the greater and deeper our relationship with Him, the more we rejoice because of His love for us. It's easy to love God and love the Lord because He's already loved us first. In 1 John 4, verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The point of mercy between God and man is the Lord Jesus. He is the living mercy seat who shed His blood that we might be forgiven. Chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And then back up to verse 16, chapter 4. "We know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now the Father hath bestowed upon us the greatest magnitude of love, that we should be called the sons of God. If you want to look at chapter 3 and verse number 1, 2, and 3 there. He's made us a part of his family. We are now his children by faith through Christ. And as the sons of God, we have a great future and inheritance to look forward to. Based on God's word, we rejoice in what we're going through because of what it is going to bring about in the future. Based on the evidence of salvation, because God's granted us his Spirit. Make a note if you'd like, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 22. God has granted us his Spirit to live within us. And the Spirit is the earnest, chapter 5, verse 5, of the assurance that God will finish the transaction of salvation that he has begun when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith we believed on Christ. We turned away from our sins and we turned to God, and God granted us his Spirit to dwell within us. And that is the evidence that God's going to finish what he started within us, receiving the completion of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Now salvation, whether you use the Hebrew language or the Greek language, has emphasis to mean, your salvation means deliverance, it means safety, it means preservation, it means wholeness, it means soundness. Salvation includes all the redemptive acts of God, forgiveness and cleansing, justification, being declared by God as righteous in his sight, redemption, sanctification, glorification, imputation, grace, mercy, propitiation, intercession. Every redemptive act of God is included in your salvation, and you are a part of why Christ died, and now you enjoy that position, but you hadn't seen what all it's going to bring you yet. That day's coming in the future. In Romans 8, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And in chapter 8, through the last of the verses, he explains all these things. And then he says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ our Lord. Then he makes some mention of something, and I'll close with this. Back in verse 10 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about our salvation and the Old Testament prophets and the very angels of God in heaven who admire the position that we're in with God. The Old Testament believers had that system of the feasts and the offerings and the sacrifices. It was a bloody religion. Thousands upon thousands of goats and heifers and all had been sacrificed. And on the Day of Atonement, the two that were sacrificed on behalf of everyone. And all of these things people endured looking forward to the day when they could have what we have today. Salvation by grace through faith with the promise of our future that is coming. The angels admire to look into what we possess. That we're saved by grace through faith. That we're kept by the power of God. That we have received the very Spirit of God to dwell within us and seal us until the day of the redemption of our body. The hope of the rapture and the transformation of our bodies to be like Christ. The prophets predicted the future of Christ and his coming and saving us. You want to make a note, Hebrews 11. Verse 32 through 40. The angels who worship Christ saw his birth, and now they rejoice in heaven every time a sinner repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10. Imagine all the rejoicing in heaven over the millions of people that have been saved since Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem. All of these years, these angels are waiting to see the transformation of believers to the new bodies where we'll go and dwell where they dwell. The church triumphant. They know everything about the history of man. They are the observers that God has sent down to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Imagine these angels desiring to see, knowing all the genealogy of man. They know every descendant of Noah. They know every descendant of his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They know exactly where you fit into that category. People spend thousands of dollars to get a genealogy of all their family history. The angels have got it all written down in glory. And when somebody gets saved today, they say, there's another Shemite got saved today. Rejoice. Lord, you're so good to save those sinners. And Ham's descendants and Japheth's descendants. And God has saved us by His grace and His mercy. And they rejoice when one gets saved. Wonder. They wonder what it is like to be so loved by God to give His Son to die on behalf of these sinful beings of man who do nothing more than see their end in sin and turn to God for mercy and rescue and hope. But they don't do that. And so they desire to understand what you have in salvation. We see them in Revelation 5 worshiping the Lamb of God, crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Let us serve the Lord and rejoice in the salvation we have and recognize if times are tough and trials are many, they're temporary. And you got a future to rejoice about and look forward to. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your mercy and grace to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have saved us and kept us by your power. Now we pray if there's anyone here today in this service that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, that you by your Spirit would speak to their heart that they might see their need of Christ and come and let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved today. And then those watching at home today, Father, deal with their hearts. Draw them unto the Lord. We miss our people who are members. If they're at home watching, we miss them and long for them to be back when it's safe and when they feel comfortable they can. So bless today in the message and speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.